Welcome to another episode of The Cubic Report. Today I'll be talking to a longtime friends of almost 30 years, whom I first met in South Africa. Their name is Derek Pringle and his wife, Cherry. My wife, Bev, and I have visited them many times over the years in Zambia, and we have become very, very good friends. So welcome to the podcast, Derek.
Thank you, Victor, and Cherry and I are really honored to be here today and be able to speak to you, 10,000 kilometers away. We've had a tremendous, lovely association through the years, and it's always a great pleasure speaking to you over the phone or over Zoom here now or wherever, just to hear about you and what you're doing. And truly, we appreciate the fellowship and the friendship that you and Beverly have extended us so gratefully through the years. We really appreciate that. Thank you so much. And it's lovely to be here with you today.
And Bev and I feel very much exactly the same way, because on our travels to Africa, we try to do three countries, sometimes four countries per trip. And Derek was an oasis. It was a place where we could kind of let down. And even though we still had things to do and the churches to visit and people to see, we just felt very, very relaxed in their home. And even on our drives out to Solwezi and Mufumbwe, Maninga, and all those points northwest, we have enjoyed that. But we also have Cherry with us today, so I'm glad to have them both on here as we talk. So it's Cherry, hello. I'm going to have you say hello too.
Hello, Vic. And yes, I agree with Derek. It's a great honor to be on your podcast. Thank you for asking us. And we really do miss you, and it's time you came for another visit.
Well, Bev and I just at times just say, let's just go. But we have kind of gone through a period of transition in our lives where we're still very busy, still do a lot of things, and still do much of the same things that we did before, but in a different way. Derek has had a career in many different things. Before we talk about the subject that we wanted to today, I'd like him to tell a little bit about the work that he's done. He has done work with electric security fencing. He's had a company with quite a few employees doing that work up in the Copper Belt. He's also done quite diverse things like commercial gardening. He's had a wildlife refuge. In fact, a lot of things I don't even know. And Cherry has been very, very involved with the work of the church, fulfilling literature, sending out the Beyond Today magazine. I mean, they have just done a tremendous amount of things. But I know that I couldn't possibly explain. And I'd like you just to say a few words about the work that you have done, Derek.
Victor, well, you mentioned Zimbabwe there. Of course, we were originally in Zimbabwe many, many years ago. But because of the politics and the governments of that time, we had to leave and landed up in Zambia, land of my birth, funny enough. Never thought I'd ever land up in Zambia. So, well, there's not much to tell, Vic, really. We started a small business, Cherry and I, and one welder. And today we have a staff of over 100. With the managers, and we are pretty busy. Manufacture a lot of our own equipment, like diamond mesh fencing. I think you might call it link fence, something mm-hmm. similar. Mm-hmm. We manufacture all our own gates and whatever is required in the fencing world. God has blessed us tremendously, and which has assisted us also in the church. Mm-hmm. I've got my eldest son is with us as well. He's taken over a lot of the work responsibilities, which gave me more time to spend in developing the churches, Kitwe Mufulira areas and the northwest of Zambia. And as things developed, unfortunately, not too well at certain stages, we got more involved also in the eastern areas of Zambia. The thing is, when you consider the areas that you have to cover, like, for instance, from where we live in Kitwe, we've got a group up on the Zambezi River, actually a place called Zambezi Town. Mm-hmm. It's over 700 kilometers to the northwest of us. But and when you think of a place like Isoko or Chipata, 1,000 kilometers from us, not just a question of, as you know, and you've been with us many times, jumping into a vehicle and there in a few hours on a beautiful road. Far from it. In fact, when you in Zambia, when a person asks you how far it is, you answer in time. How far is it to Zambezi? Well, it could take you 3 days. You don't mention the mileage because of the road conditions, which are deplorable at this time, especially. Lots of potholes. Half the time you're driving right off the supposed toll road and the dirt. I sometimes feel sorry for the poor vehicle and the hammering that it has to take, and our bodies as well at times. As you've been with us many times, with you especially, and Beverly, it's been a great joy. You remember, we normally take our own food with us, breakfast or lunch or whatever it might be, find a shady tree on the side of the road and stop, and the back flap of the vehicle comes down, tablecloth gets put on it, and the tea and coffee is spread there with the egg sandwich or whatever it might be. And I remember once you were, I said to you and Biff, "Oh, we've got a nice place to stop up ahead." And you would think, "Oh, there's a nice little place to stop and have tea and whatnot." What did we call it? Well, not a restaurant, but you mentioned that there's
Well, we thought you were talking about there's a nice place to stop, but we did think it was a restaurant. I thought, oh, of all things, in 1,000 miles here, they put a restaurant. That's very nice, and that's Derek's place. And then we come to a wide spot in the road, and pull off, and there's just totally flat area. And Derek says, "Here it is." There's nothing there, but it was a good place to stop for breakfast.
And you know, those are fond memories that we have of your visits to us. You always, you see, your visits were very encouraging. And I remember in particular one of your first visits many years ago. We landed up at the small town, I think maybe it was Mufumbwe, I'm not too sure now. And one of the people came to me and he said, "Is that really the president of United Church of God?" I said, "Yes, of course it is." He said, "Well, he can't believe it that the president would come all the way out to Africa and to visit us right here in the bush." He couldn't believe that. And he was not the only one that was astounded that you could take the time to come out and visit us, encourage us, help us in all our activities and problems and whatever it is. But it's, as I say, we'll never forget those memories.
Well, we feel so much the same way. I might comment too that Derek Pringle, I've talked about the various things that he's done in his life and his occupation. I feel like the most important thing that he's done is that he's been an elder in the church ever since about 2011 or so, when we went through a change there in the churches. And we have appreciated him not only being an elder who has served one church, but he's also helped establish churches along a highway that goes all the way to Angola, towards Angola. And a church building was built in Mufalira. We feel like a lot of that was Derek's, even though we helped out with the process, but the know-how, the energy was done with the Pringles. And then Solwezi was added. There was a group that came over with us, Solwezi. And then Mufumbwe, which was kind of the end of the line at one point, where people waited 25 years to be baptized. That was kind of like to us the edge of the earth. But now, and they met for 25 years without a minister under the mango tree for years. I wrote an article about that in the Beyond Today magazine, I believe it was in 2022, in the March-April issue. And then also after that, another church was, and also I would say that in Maninga, a church was built. and we were there for the dedication of it. In fact, we've been in there, we've been in Zambia for the dedication of most of the churches. And then finally, which is not finally, at least it was for us, another church was built in a group there. We're one of the original founders of the church, one of the original members of the church. Horacio was his name, was one of the original members. So to us, Zambia has been burnt into our life, but also burnt, the Pringles have made that very big impression. And to say that the president came out is a big deal. To us, it was a big deal to be able to come out there and to visit with people who had waited so long, who'd been so faithful in practice for year after year after year. So that has been, to us, a very, very important part of the work of Derek and Cherry both.
Victor, but yes, I agree with you, but you know, we must always look to the source, and the source is from our Heavenly Father that has guided us, given us ideas, helped us along, inspired us, given us the strength to do the work that we have done. So all glory goes to our great God, who truly has seen the work grow tremendously in these areas.
Absolutely. That's a very, very important to remember.
And also to thank you and Beverly, too, for the tremendous financial help. We couldn't have done it without the financial help of LifeNet's Good Works. We could never have managed that. Zambia, in the areas we cover, are mostly rural people. They're farmers and very small-scale farmers. So they're not well off at all. You know, possibly, I don't know what their income in dollar terms would be. I'd say less than a dollar a day, maybe. So we couldn't have done all this work without the financial support. It's thanks to you and Beverly LifeNets, the donations that you've received from many peoples through the ages. We understand that we are stewards of God's money, so we have to handle it extremely careful. And I'm very pleased to say that because of that, we've managed to build these walls and sink boreholes down and establish little projects, gardening projects at Meninga. Now we've just established a 50-tree orchard for them. It's still ongoing, you know, it never stops.
Is that orchard there at the church property?
Yes. We've our firm freely fenced, well, like all the properties, fenced the properties off.
Extended it.
And then we bought a bit of extra ground at Meninga, extended that, fenced it off. We've also, through LifeNet's, been able to put a borehole down there with solar power for the orchard. So that is going very well. At this time, we've got Roderick Ipomba at Solwezi, and he's closer to move. He's only 300 kilometers from Meninga. We're about 500-600 kilometers. So he's also helped tremendously in overseeing those projects as well. Wow. So yes, we've got good backing. We've got good people backing us in the church here in Zambia, which I'm. We need it, you know. You can't do everything by yourself.
Well, I am just very glad to see that you have had helpers, because at one point it just seems it was you and Cherry, and times were pretty dark at one time.
Yes.
But Derek, one thing I wanted to talk about this time is about the current conditions. In fact, this kind of spurred on saying, I've got to do a podcast with Derek and Cherry about the grave conditions of drought and possible famine in Zambia. Now, we hear about this all the time, you know, that Africa, drought, famine, and all. But it seems like it's particularly difficult this time. Can you tell us about what's going on right now?
Vic, it's frightening, actually. I was a farmer, a rancher in southern Rhodesia, Zimbabwe, and we had droughts, but the rivers always had water in them. and we recovered. It wasn't death threatening, as it were. But yeah, in Zambia now this year, our rainy season normally starts toward the end of October into November, goes right through to the end of March. Might get a few showers in April, and by then we've had up to 1,400 millimeters of rain. This year, and I've been in Zambia nearly 30 years now, is the worst year that I've ever experienced. Instead of having over 1,000 millimeters of rain, we've only, when I left there 2 weeks ago, we had 480 millimeters. And not in heavy downpours, 5 millimeters this week, 5 days later, maybe a week later, 8 millimeters. So no real runoff. That's affected. Zambia is dependent on its food supply by the local farmers. There's fortunately white farmers there as well with big irrigation works. But they're also very worried because of their dams drying up, underground water drying up. It's a terrible situation. And I say, I've never known it to be like that. We're near the Congo. We're, as a crow flies, I'd say about 25 kilometers from the southern Congo border. And we normally receive deluge of rain from that area. This year, nothing. And I don't know how the government's going to cope with it, because the problem is we dependent upon hydro schemes for our electricity. The water flowing in is dropped to such an extent that we're on now 8 hours load shedding every day on a solid stretch from 6 in the morning to 2 o'clock, 14 hours, as we'd call it, in the afternoon for 1 week. And then the next week, from 14 hours up to 20 hours next week. So how are we going to cope with our workshops? How the mines are going to cope with copper production, because copper is our main source of foreign exchange. They're looking at at this moment in time, a 15% drop in that commodity. But of course, the greatest worry to us involved in the church as well is the people themselves, the farmers themselves. They're going to reap nothing. Their staple diet, it just won't be there. We're hoping the government will step in. Unfortunately, our present government has been in power 2 years now. A man that we admire, a very good businessman, he took over a bankrupt country. The previous government bankrupted it. And he's been trying to put it on an even keel so that we can pay off our debts that are in the billions. And hope we'll get further loans from the International Monetary Fund, which we need. But this is going to set Zambia back tremendously. When you think our next rains are what, 7, 8 months away? Going to be a hard, hard time.
Are there relief agencies from around the world who are seeing the horrific aspect of everything from not being able to have electric power for a big part of the day, affecting businesses and also food, and farmers going with already who are subsistence farmers going without that subsistence? Are there organizations like the World Food Program, for example, or United Nations that have come in to help?
Well, yes. The trouble is all these agencies are so hard pressed now. You're thinking of what's happening in Ukraine. You think of what's happening in the Gaza area at this time. Terrible events, what's happening in around the world. And it's not only Zambia, Zimbabwe is also, Malawi, all this whole region is going to fall under that, this drought area. So I don't know. It's not looking well. There's only so much money in the world, I suppose. And well, we'll just have to see how we overcome this.
Well, one thing about those who are the providers, and I consider us to be part of the group of the providers, and the question is, well, we have a hurricane in Acapulco that, is devastating to our members' homes. We've had other tragedies in the Caribbean. We've had Zambia. We've had Ukraine. We have all these places. How do you do it? And my question is that you can't budget for these things. You can't just say, well, we're going to set aside this amount, for that. And I know this is that I come before God and say that God help us to be able to help out where we can. Sometimes there's even an individual who has a very, very distinct situation where we have helped. And it's come through. It's come through time and time again where we didn't even put out a call, but God had put it upon somebody's heart to send us some money or to help out in a particular way, or a church has come together to stand behind a project. Or, for example, in Zambia, the women's retreat here in southern Missouri, said, we would like to help out the women in Zambia, with the women's enrichment weekend. People have come to the aid, and I say the aid is just tremendous of what's come through. So we ask, we receive, and we're able to help. We don't just say that, look, we're out of money. Sometimes we can't help out to the full extent that we would want to, but we have been able to help out, and that's been the lesson that I have seen indoctrinated into us in this 25th year of LifeNets. We're celebrating our 25th year of operation here
Yeah,
this year,
wonderful.
and we're just so very grateful to it. And one of our biggest projects, if I could state this here, is for 25 years, or actually about 22 of those years, we have had the scholarship program, the International Developing Nations Scholarship Program, which started in Guatemala to Zambia, I mean, Guatemala to El Salvador to Peru, and then to places in Africa. And now we have over 100 students in it. And this year, in part of celebrating our 25th anniversary, we're going to give five scholarships to American students, because we do have people who are not suffering necessarily, but really strapped financially to be able to send their kids to college. So we wanted to show appreciation, and we thought we would let out $25,000 in five scholarships for vocational subjects, and to show appreciation to basically mostly the American people who have been so generous in helping people around the world. So I'd like to just put that plug in here too.
Yeah, no, well, it's an actual fact, Vic. The American people truly are following what was said to Abraham, that God's people will be a blessing to the world. Certainly, America has shown that in their generosity. We sometimes think you're too generous at times, but it just shows what a giving heart the American people have that God has instilled in them. And that's wonderful because you mentioned the scholarships. Oh, I can't think of the number now of people who've obtained degrees and diplomas, and whether it be teaching or in nursing. We've got two young lads now just qualified in forestry, which because of the devastation of the forests in Zambia, they cut down the trees to make charcoal for cooking purposes. This is a necessary conservation work that these guys are getting involved in, which is good, and I'm happy about that. We've got so many teachers in Zambia that they can't be employed, but guys like in the forestry, for instance, that's so. Yes, it's a variety of subjects that the unfortunate people in Zambia have been able to benefit from, and we thank you once again for your kind and all your donors, so generous as they've always been. Without LifeNets, without you coming out to see us and seeing the conditions here, it's all very good to talk and to read. Unless you're there to experience it yourself and to see yourself, you won't ever really know. And of course, you and Bev have been out many times, and you know the people, you know the situations, which we really appreciate so very much.
Well, thank you very much for that plug. I appreciate your kindness. So, what do you see now for the next 6 months until the next rainy season comes to Zambia as to what will take place? I saw those photographs that you sent, and they're grim pictures of a harvest that's failed. So what's going to happen, Derek?
Victor, we don't really know. The government will have to step in. They haven't said anything about it as yet, but they'll have to do something soon. Now, whether they will be able to cope with the whole of Zambia, I doubt that, unless they get some foreign aid in from the World Food Organization or wherever. So I shouldn't really mention this, but we privately have assisted some people already out of our own funds. I shouldn't say any much more than that.
No, we realize, and I'll add that Derek and Cherry have been extra generous personally for helping the people in that part of Zambia. I remember the first time that we had the people from northern Zambia, from the Mufulira area, come down to Lusaka for the Feast of Tabernacles. It was just a small group of people, but in large part helped by Derek and Cherry Pringle, and we have thoroughly, in a def very definitely appreciate. There's some people that God has raised up for a time as this, and Derek and
Yes.
Cherry have been the people for this time and place.
So, Vic, in answer to your question, really, I think we have to virtually take it from month to month. It's a hand-to-mouth situation. We'll just have to pray about it, think about it, and God will supply the answers. I remember an old aunt telling me in my farming days we were going through a drought, and we went to visit her. And she said, "You know, it's all very good to pray to God for rain." She said, "That's fine, do that. But you should also pray to God to help you to overcome the drought, to make plans, to see what you can do to overcome the situation that you are in." And I've never forgotten that. So, yes, we pray for God's assistance. But then we have to stand up on our hind feet and say, okay, what are we going to do now? What is the best process to do? How are we going to handle this problem? How's God going to lead us into the right decision? And then make decisions and go for it. So you know that we are on constant communication, and I'll keep you up to date as things develop in Zambia, and keep you informed on that if that would be okay with you.
That's perfectly fine, and that's good. We would like to be in the know so that we can be responding to the requests, because I'm having a newsletter coming out here. I have put out a newsletter every so often about needs, and people have been very responsive. At this time, Derek, I'd like to ask about another project that you've had that we'd like a little bit of update about, is that Nalubanda School. I'm not sure if you're how knowledgeable you are with Jonathan Letaba, who has been managing that. Can you tell us more about that?
Yep, fine. That has turned out very well. There were four classrooms there. We have got government teachers that have been supplied by the government. This year, I forget the figure, but the government realized that there's a shortage of rural education. And they've employed, it was in the thousand of school teachers that have qualified but have no work. So they've employed these people to go out to the rural areas and teach English and maths and the basics. So that's done quite well. Now, you supplied a certain amount of money some time ago for two cottages to be built there. They've made the bricks, But we put it on hold because normally during the rainy season you can't do anything. It's just too much rain. But of course, this year is a big difference. So I'm in touch with Jonathan Otava, and as soon as they're ready to start building, we'll get these two cottages done.
Okay, good.
So
We
I hope it would be pretty soon.
well, that's good. We appreciate reports, not necessarily detailed, but for public review, we people like to see what's being done, and I like to add sometimes a little map and show where it's at. It makes it real to people as to what's happening, but most of all, outcomes. What is it producing, and how are people being helped? And that really, to me, that's my fundraiser. That's the way I raise funds. I just talk about these things and illustrate them and make podcasts.
And you see, Victor, at Naramanda, what you're talking about, there's no school there for miles and miles. So these poor kids, they grow up without virtually any education. They've got to work in their lands and their parents' lands, and eventually they grow up and they wander off into the towns to look for work. And you'll be surprised. Now, English is one of the major recognized government languages in Zambia. And you'll be surprised how many people cannot understand English or read English. It's frightening, actually. Why they should be able to, but it's just lack of education. So the Nalabanda School is a great asset to the people of that area. And of course, it's not just the school. You also had a borehole put there, which is supplying water to the community. So it's a real community development, a great help to the people there.
Well, we find that we must put a borehole in, whether we build a church building, a community center, or a school.
Yes.
We need to have a borehole because that attracts people. It shows our care for the community around, and that we are people who are sharing, and not just hoarding it for ourselves.
And the community appreciate it too. They really do.
Well, Derek and Cherry, is there anything else that you would like to bring up at this time? You're certainly welcome to say a few things and to say hello.
Victor, no, not really. I think you've covered everything. It's just been so wonderful to us, Cherry and I, here with the sea in the background, speaking to you and just knitting together again. That's really wonderful for us, and we've appreciated it so much. And we wish you God's blessing on your work that you are doing there.
And we are praying for God's blessing upon you health-wise and continuing the work and being able to be a light and an encouragement to the people there. So thank you very much. Cherry, thank you for all the work that you do along with your husband. Just like Bev is alongside with me, you are right there with Derek doing so many wonderful things.
Thank you, Vic. Yes, and it's only a pleasure.
Okay, thank you. So thank you very much for joining us today on the podcast. Derek, it was just wonderful to have you and Cherry.
Thank you, Vic. Thank you for having us.
Well, keep well. We'll be in touch.
Thank you for listening to us today on The Cubic Report. We welcome you to share this podcast and tell your friends about it. We can be found on a variety of platforms, including Apple and Google Podcasts, Pandora, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, and many other platforms. You can easily find us at any browser address box by typing in the words The Cubic Report, and there we are. Remember, cubic is spelled K-U-B-I-K. So we'd love to hear from you. Write to us at vcubic@gmail.com. That's vkubik@gmail.com. Again,